and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grab Podcast, and this is episode 151, titled Tasty Winter Soups. Some of you may have wondered if you've listened to the right podcast, as I've changed the theme tune. I've been kind of feeling for a while that a change was in order, and it's just one of the things that I was feeling that it wasn't unique enough and it was getting a bit tired. This new theme is completely unique to the Veg Grab podcast, so you won't hear it anywhere else, and I really like it. But what do you think? Let me know. Anyway, coming up today, I have the diary where I've tackled quite a large job. I then have a few soup recipes to share with you, all made from vegetables that can be harvested right now. And with these cold winter evenings, I find it really nice to have some tasty soups. But before that, let's get the diary taken care of. This last week, it's actually been really nice to have some light still when I got home from work. And this has given me the chance just to walk around the garden a bit more and take stock of what needs doing. I also managed to cut a piece and paint a piece of plywood. And this has been prepared for a job in the potting shed. I will come back to this job shortly. Just remember the plywood. Saturday, I went down the allotment. And normally I would go down on Sunday, but I knew this week Sunday would not be a good day for me. So Saturday it was. And the first job I tackled was harvesting. Picked a few leeks, which weighed in at about 800 grams. And I emptied all the buckets I had of the Sapo Myra potatoes. And actually, these potatoes have really performed well. They've been by far the best potatoes that I have grown this year. I had just over 5 kilos of potatoes. And they hadn't caught a frost or anything at all. So pretty happy with that. But what I did notice with these potatoes was there was a distinct difference in the size of the potatoes based on the pot that I grew them in. I had some that were in large flower pots and some in old paint buckets that I drilled a few holes into. Well, the flower pots produced by far the best potatoes. And the only reason I can think of this is drainage. The flower pots had much larger holes in the base and sides, which just allowed the water to escape easier. Although potatoes do like lots of water, I think it's more they like lots of moisture around them. And the drainage just improved them tenfold. What this means is that all the buckets that I drilled holes into need bigger holes, which isn't a huge job, and I will be doing that. I then tidied up the Jerusalem artichoke bed, cutting down all the stalks and preparing them to make fire with. And I then harvested a few artichokes. And the great thing with artichokes is it doesn't take long to harvest. I had just over 1 kilo from quite a small area of this bed, and there's still plenty more in the ground for the time being. Now, all this food that I had harvested was washed and allowed to dry while I worked on my raspberry bed. This bed is obviously on the older half of my plot, and it was established when I took the plot on. But it's been one of these really troublesome areas because the raspberries were there, it was very difficult to weed, and the weeds just grew and took over. And I had no idea what variety of raspberries there were. They did fruit pretty well, though, to be honest. So I armed myself with a fork, spade and rake, and I set about digging out all the raspberries and the couch grass, and this took quite a few hours' work. At the end of the day, I had lots of splinters. And as it stands, pretty much all the raspberries have been dug out, And the ground has kind of been mostly dug over to remove the coach grass roots. But it was getting a bit dark by the end of the day, and I couldn't really continue with getting it absolutely spot on perfect. But it's a lot better than where it was, and next week I will be able to complete clearing this bed and build new beds and fill with manure and compost. But more on that next time. Now, the raspberries that I dug out, basically I shook all the soil off the bottom, off the roots, and I've planted those into pots. If these raspberry plants survive this process, I'll sell them at a car boot or sink, just so they don't get wasted, because I really hate waste. Sunday was a day at home, and I was mostly spent the day in the potting shed. I actually had quite a late night Saturday. I was out at a gig, so it was hard to get going. Now, you remember earlier I mentioned a piece of plywood that I had cut and painted. Well, I've screwed this to the wall, which is just behind the kind of area that I tend to do a lot of my work in, the potting table area. It's where I sow all my seeds and basically work on things. Anyway, this plywood is screwed to the back, and at the very top of the wood I've mounted a series of plug sockets and a timer. Now, some of the plug sockets that are constantly live or constantly power supply to them are going to be for powering my propagators, and the plug sockets that run off a timer are for my grow lights. To the sides of this, I fitted some Watson twin slot shelving brackets. And these are to mount shelves on, of course. And my idea here is that these brackets mean I can easily adjust and move shelves to different heights as and when I see fit. I don't know about you, but I always find it annoying that you put a shelf up, and at the time, it's the ideal place. A few months down the right line, you think, oh, I could do that being a bit higher or lower and more space in between. Well, I just felt that these brackets allow for shelves to be adjusted easily, which just made life easier. So I've added a link to Amazon for these shelf brackets, if they're of any interest to you, on the blog post. But yeah, I like this idea, and I think it will work for the best. And now I've got all my propagators fitted on these shelves. It's all powered from the plug sockets. I've also added a lead light. Just this lead light, the bulb in it has a speaker built in. You probably see these in quite often lately, speaker and different coloured lights, just to give me a bit of light, so if I'm working out there and it's dark, I can turn the light on. And because it's a lead light, I can move it around easily. And also, the speaker allows me to play podcasts and music while I'm working as well. Now, the timer, as I said, it powers my grow lights. But later on in the year, I will use it to power a watering system that I'm going to be building. So multifunction there. I'm not going to need the grow lights by the time I need this watering system. So win-win. Anyway, with this all built, I sowed some seeds, and it feels so good to get sowing again. This week, I sowed some sweet basil and some red cherry tomatoes. And the red cherry tomatoes are meant to be quite an early crop in sweet, juicy cherry variety. And I'm hoping this is going to help avoid blight by getting them earlier. But we will monitor this and report back on that throughout the year. The onion seeds I sowed last week, they've just started to begin to sprout, so that's good. But we'll monitor that and carry on as always. After all that, I cleaned out the quail and chickens. That's part of my weekly jobs. Now this week, the chickens or the quail haven't produced any eggs. I'm not too worried at the moment, but I believe Grills is now starting to molt, and she's actually been a really good layer so far. But now they are getting to that two-year-old mark, production is dropping, so it's starting to look like they may have to be moved on. Some of you may have seen that last night I released a blog post just detailing how much I have harvested this week and the shop value of what I've harvested. And this is something I'm going to try and release each week. I do work out the shop prices based on how much that particular crop is selling in the supermarket on that day. And I think it'll be interesting just to keep track of how much it's actually would have cost me if I bought the food from a shop. And I'll add a link to that blog post in this podcast. That is the diary all up to date. So let's take a look at what the calendar recommends to do for this week. It says, plant shallots in sheltered districts. Set the bulbs in shallow drills on well-prepared soil, allowing about 2.5 centimetres or 1 inch between each row. The bulbs should be placed approximately 20 centimetres or 8 inches apart and covered with soil so that just their tips are showing. Sow radishes and lettuces in a cold frame. Interesting advice there, and I'm a bit worried about the measurements, but anyway, I will certainly be sowing lettuce and radishes this week to see if it works. Now, I'll read the calendar tips out exactly as it's written in the calendar. And I'm pleased to say that this week is certainly all about food. Now then, tasty winter soups. I believe these are such a great way to incorporate vegetables into our diet. They're also quick and easy to make. And at this time of year, nice hot soup with some crusty bread, fresh crusty bread, just seems so comforting. I actually find that the vegetables that are growing at this time of year, or harvested at this time of year, actually really work really well in soups. Now, the base of any good soup has to be the stock, and I like to make plenty of stock throughout the year and keep them in the freezer until I need them. I've released a blog post in the past about how I make stock, and I'll add a link to that onto this week's blog post. But what I tend to do is when I save all my potato peelings and carrot tops and vegetable scraps that are clean and still kind of edible. It might be a bit chewy because they're the outer edges or whatever. I'll store these in the freezer, and when I have enough, I pop them all in a slow cooker with an onion that I've roughly chopped, a few sprigs of herbs such as bay leaves or thyme. I cover it all with water, turn the stock on low and leave it on for a few hours, normally overnight. And then when it's ready, I'll pour the stock through a sieve or colander and keep in the liquid, as that is, of course, the stock. And that stock in that example is basically a vegetable stock. But often if I cook a roast, I will save the bones and the carcass and add those to the slow cooker, just as above. It may take a bit longer to cook. 24 hours isn't unusual, even 48 hours, but it works and it's simple. And I do find that homemade stocks taste so much nicer than these shop-bought or powdered stocks that are on the market. However, in soups, you know, supermarket stocks and work just as well. The start of any soup is basically the same, regardless of what soup we're making. It's the start of sweating down onions and garlic and other vegetables. Add whatever ingredients we're going to be used, cover with stock, bring to the boil and simmer. And then blend to make a soup. And generally blending, I use a stick blender just because it creates less washing up. Once it's simmered for the time, I'll probably let it cool for 2-3 minutes, then blend, still in the pan that I've been cooking in. And once it's blended into a smooth paste, or a smooth soup consistency, I would reheat and serve. Now, I say a stick blender. A blender will work just as well. I just prefer it as a stick blender because it just, as I say, less mess. My first soup that I have today is one that I actually made yesterday, and that is leek and potato soup. Now, for this, I sweated down 2 onions and 3 cloves of onion, 3 cloves of garlic, sorry. I then took the 800 grams of leeks, topped and tailed them, and roughly chopped them. Gave them a good wash and added to the pan. I then added 800 grams of potatoes that had been peeled and roughly chopped. Covered them all in stock, and I've probably used about 1.5 litres for this. Brought it to the boil and then simmered for a half hour. Blended to a smooth consistency and then simmered again for 10 minutes. And seasoned to taste. And seasoning for this, I added black pepper, salt, mustard powder and some thyme. But like any of soup recipe, seasoning is all a matter of preference. And actually this soup was really tasty and filling. I don't have this recipe on the website at the moment, but later this week it will be up. Now, my next soup is one I made last year, and that is parsnip and apple soup. And this recipe starts by sweating down onions and parsnips in a bit of butter and oil, about 15 minutes until nice and soft. Add garlic and apple for 2 minutes, again stirring constantly. Then add the stock. Bring to a boil, then turn the heat down and simmer for 20 minutes. Blend it all together, reheat for another 20 minutes and serve. And off you go. Of course, seasoning as you want. But this recipe was really, really nice. Unfortunately, I haven't grown any parsnips through the winter this year, so I haven't been able to make it. But I really liked it last year. Next, I have one of my absolute favourite soups, and one that I make this every year. This is cream of Jerusalem artichoke soup. Now, we start this by gently melting some butter and adding the artichokes, leeks, potato, onion and garlic. Sweat this down for a few minutes, add stock, and just like the rest of the other recipes, bring to a boil and simmer for 20 minutes. Take off the heat, cool for a couple of minutes, blend it, then heat for 20 minutes. Season if required, and then add some double cream just before serving. Now this soup I find to be really, really tasty and also a great use for artichokes, which not only grow really well and easily, they're really tasty. The downside to this, of course, being the fact that Jerusalem artichokes, or fartichokes, can sometimes cause the passing of wind. Personally, I find if it's fresh, it's less likely to happen, and the more you eat of them, you build up a resistance to it. And to be honest, I don't find it to be a huge problem. But that is Jerusalem artichokes anyway. They always do that. So there's 3 soups that I think work great this time of year. If you try any of them out, please let me know how you get on. Or if you out there have any soup recipes you would like to share, please get in touch by visiting theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk and I will get them shared. So that is it for this week. Please take care and keep growing food. And I will speak to you all again next time.